This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
That's it. The first loss of the season for St. Louis City SC. Bradley Carnell and the Philadelphia Union get an early goal on a corner kick by Kai Wagner, headed in by Ian Glavinovich, and the young roster of Bradley Carnell. That's all they needed.
You know, there's somebody who works at this station, in this company here, Odyssey, and she insists that nobody ever scores on a corner kick.
Who is that?
That's Trish.
Trisha. No one ever scores on a corner kick.
And apparently that's not true, because that's how City SC lost
to Philadelphia. That's so untrue. That's the untruest thing. Does she even know what soccer is?
I don't think she does. Joining us on the guest line this morning on the Chris and Amy show, Dale Schilly is St. Louis City SC's Academy Director and color commentator. You can hear him and Joey Zanaboni on Y98 for City SC. How's it going, Dale?
Good, especially now that I've learned that untruest is a word.
Well, yeah.
Well, stick around. I'll teach you a thing or
There's
two.
There's so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why is our coworker wrong about these corner kicks? Because people do, in fact, score.
They do score on corner kicks. We've scored a number of goals on restarts over the course of our 3 years here, and we have two of the better restart takers in Leuven and Cello Hartle, providing good service. So, yeah, a number of goals are scored. I'd like to give you a stat, but I don't have it off the top of my head.
We don't have it either. we did not come prepared for that question.
We were not ready at all.
I thought of it in the last minute. So City did take the loss, and the backdrop of that game was facing their former coach in Bradley Carnell. Yeah. So I suppose there is added intrigue in that, right?
Yeah, you know, it was a little more fight and a little more bite in the game. Part of it was the weather and the wind and the bumpy field. Part of it was, you know, Bradley on one sideline and former players on the other sideline, everybody wanting to show their worth. Andy Vasilev, who used to play for us, started in the game for Philadelphia. So, yeah, there's some little bit of extra fight, and we came out on the short end, but for sure it was a battle.
Dale, we are 5 games into the regular season with 34 games in that regular season, not counting all of those in-season tournaments and so forth. What is a benchmark for you when it comes to knowing what team you have out on the pitch? I say this because Mike Claiborne with the St. Louis Cardinals famously says, you don't know what you have until Flag Day. So until June, he's like, you don't really know what you have. In soccer, is there a benchmark part of the season where you say, this is who we are?
Yeah, for me, it's June 1, particularly with a new coach. And if you have somebody that's back in for the second, third, fourth year, different story. But Coach Olaf is here now. The style and the way we're attacking the game looks a little bit different. But, you know, June 1 gives you a good part of the, 25% of the season, maybe a little bit more, to see what it's like. There's just so many moving parts and, just guys trying to figure each other out and exactly what the coach wants and where things are at and a different system and a different way of training, and a different way of communicating and preparing. So I would say early June. And, you know, Open Cup is in mid full swing at that point. So you have your regular season going on. You have Open Cup. You have a number of games that are happening. You have a mixture of players that are getting put together by that stage. And I think at that point, you know exactly what you got. And then it's a matter of, you know, can you get the results the rest of the year to put you over the playoff line?
Dale Schilly is joining us here on 104.1 FM KMOX. We've got coming up here a game against Austin. Now, Sunday, there will probably be, I suppose, interesting conditions. The weather is not supposed to be entirely cooperative. So how do you prepare for a day like that when, you know, they might have to play through something?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because we're scheduled for a doubleheader that day, the club right. is. So we have a 1:15 game with the first team, 4:30 game with City 2, both against Austin. And, if we get too much rain, I'd hate to be the City 2 guys and have to play on the field after it's been played on that day. It's unusual to have, two games in a day like that. How do you prepare for it? Yeah, you just call back on experiences that you had as a youth and then your developmental days of having to play through different conditions because you can't mimic it in training. And obviously today is a great day for practice and a great day for a game. Tomorrow similar, although I think we're going to have some wind, but yeah, if we get storms on Sunday, who knows, a couple of years ago we played Cincinnati at home and we had, a couple-hour delay before we could kick off. We still had fans sticking around. And actually, I think we had like 15,000 fans stick around for the kickoff that was 2 or 3 hours delayed. So, yeah, you got to eat some food. You got to keep yourself going. You got to play cards. You got to play Parcheesi as these guys play. And then just flip the switch to when the whistle blows, get out and play.
Hold on, they play Parcheesi? Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Yeah, I've never heard of anybody playing
Parcheesi.
That.
Wait, what's Parcheesi again?
It's with cards.
It's like a Sorry game. Right? Well, no, it's a board game. It's kind of like Sorry, if you remember Sorry.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like that, yeah, where you're kicking people back to their starting spots.
But it's not like backgammon.
No.
No, it's not like backgammon. No, it's more of a... I mean, it's like a board game where you move around a square into a home space, and you can get kicked back to the beginning. And the games can take a long time. And I haven't watched them play it. I know they play it, and I hear it on the plane. And it's a good game when you're flying 4 hours or 3 hours to Los Angeles because it takes a long time.
Okay, I honestly have never met anybody who's played it.
Aware. I've only really kind of heard about it, like in lore.
Yeah, like, right. It was always like a joke, a punchline.
Like, oh, Parcheesi.
And these young guys are playing it.
I love it.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I used to play with my grandma. That was Yeah, that was a big game back then. But
I like to picture the City SC players on their private jet playing Parcheesi and bridge on the way to the game. I feel like that.
Bridge.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, actually, no matter what the weather is, Dale, on Sunday, someone who won't be playing is midfielder Edward Leuven, who received a red card and it will have to sit out City's next game. And he got the red card for not leaving the field in a timely manner, correct?
Yeah, he kicked the ball away and didn't leave the field. So, yeah, he got the suspension. Maybe a little touchy, maybe a little bit harsh.
Yeah.
But, it is within the referee's, ability at that point to judge it that way. So we'll miss Leuven this weekend, and that's a big loss.
Well, he can't be happy about this. Is it So you do sort of think he deserved it?
You know, I mean, look, if it was on the other side, we yeah. would be complaining that that the you know was should have been a second yellow. So is it a consistently called? Not necessarily. Different referees have different perspectives on it, but the way the game was being called on that mm-hmm. night, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Is it kind of like a call like that feels like when an umpire decides to throw a manager out of the game?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's kind of subjective and like, yeah, it's within his purview and maybe the manager said the magic word, but it kind of felt like that, like throwing an umpire yeah. out of a game.
Or kind of like a balk. Because yeah. I feel like balks happen all the time, and then sometimes they call it.
it could be a balk, could be kicking a manager out of him. All I know is we're missing a do this week.
Does he still get paid?
What's that?
Does he still get paid?
Oh, sure.
Okay,
sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
right. This is a stupid question, but if
they've all been stupid.
No, but if they have all been stupid, let's say the game gets delayed, does he still have to miss the delayed game, or is it like...
He will have to miss the next delayed game. So, yeah, okay. So let's say this game gets canceled and moved
yeah.
to a different part of the year. This is the game he'll have to miss.
Oh, that is interesting.
That's so weird. Yeah.
So he's not out for the next game. He's out for this game. Interesting.
That's correct.
Huh.
How? Yeah. So it wasn't a stupid question. It felt like a stupid question at the
time. Good job, Amy.
Why, thank you. I feel good about this. Well, I guess on the upside, there is a player now. Who gets to go on the pitch who wouldn't normally get to. Do we know who that is yet? Because, I mean, obviously an injury or a suspension is a bummer for the team, but there's always a young guy who gets an opportunity.
That's right. I don't know who it's going to be. We'll see, you know, as Coach Olof starts to put some of the guys on the field next to each other in training today and tomorrow, that's when we'll have a better idea. Tomas Ostrock could be the guy that benefits. The other person could be like an Akil Watts, who against the Union played wide, but he can play central where Adu plays. Then they would move some other guys around. So maybe Akil would come central and another center back, maybe Jakob Nielsen or Timo Baumgartel or Josh Yarrow will come in and play center back, and Cal Hebert would go wide. So there's a couple of different opportunities for Olof to move some guys around. And as you said, Amy, somebody's going to benefit from it.
It is very early in the season. City SC is in fifth place in the Western Conference. The team they are hosting on Sunday afternoon is in second place. That is Austin coming to town. Dale Schilly will be on the call with Joey Zanaboni on Y98. Dale, as always, we appreciate it. Thank you for giving us more soccer education today.
Yeah, all right. It's my pleasure.
Dale Schilly, our guy, St. Louis City SC Academy director and color commentator. Again, you can hear that game on Y98. So there is a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get to watch if you're going to it, City play. That's the first team. They'll play at 1:15. And then after that game will be City 2 getting a chance to play. So a nice little soccer doubleheader, and hopefully the weather is somewhat cooperative on Sunday. Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji with you. Don't forget the Gas House Gang. We're talking Cardinals baseball. Talk a little Blues, too, because they are on a roll still. Cardinals win their opener yesterday. They'll enjoy an off day. I've got Mike Claiborne and Matt Pauly sitting in with me at 12 o'clock. But for now, until then, it's Chris and Amy on 104.1 KMOX. Keep forgetting this is Friday. Man, wouldn't today be a great day for a baseball game?
You know what I think today is? Today I thought, man, this would be a great buffer day. I think it's a great buffer day.
Oh, so let's have one of the nicest days of the year,
yep.
No game on it, because it could have rained yesterday or today.
Yes.
And cancel the game.
Listen, it's
so
why
dumb.
we have a nuclear arsenal, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in case we go nuclear.
Nuclear? I love when people say nuclear. it's just the best.
Pretty soon there's going to be a signal thread and someone's going to spell it nuclear.
You know, I've had a couple of people who have agreed with me on the text line about the buffer day.
Come on.
And how silly it is.
No, you haven't.
But here's one that says, hey, Chris, if you're going to complain about something, why not complain about how April 1st used to be the first day of baseball and now we start in the middle of March? Well, I mean, we started on the 27th. March is almost over.
Yeah, I don't... Okay, first of all, it wasn't always April 1st, was it?
Maybe in history, during the Civil War.
No.
There's no baseball in the Civil War.
I think if you're going to complain about baseball being early, why don't you complain about Easter being late? It's like April 20th this year.
Yeah.
It's way too late.
How do they decide that?
I don't know, but it really messed everything up. That's Boston weekend, so everyone's like, you qualified for Boston. Oh, it's Easter weekend. Oh, I don't know. I just feel like it's too late. What if Christmas was like, sometimes it's in October and sometimes it's in December?
I think we should do that.
No, we should
never. We should wait until it's going to snow and then we schedule Christmas for that day.
No, the joy of Christmas, among other things, is knowing when it is.
I think it's the baby Jesus.
You know the best thing about Christmas? It's always on the same day every year.
You know when it is.
So
Easter, no one ever knows.
Amy,
and it's like, well, Easter could be at the beginning of March. It might be at the end of April. Who knows? What kind of holiday is that?
Speaking of holidays, Mother's Day, I guess you can call it a holiday, right?
Yeah.
Is Mother's Day a holiday?
Yes.
I don't know if it's considered a holiday if you don't get a day off.
Yeah.
So
there's it's a show called Schitt's Creek.
Yes.
And there's a really funny episode where Alexis, you need to celebrate. It's your mom's birthday, the great Catherine O'Hara. She's like, no, it's not mom's birthday. Mom's birthday is the second Sunday in May. And they go, that's Mother's Day. She's like, I don't think so.
Well, this text message after the Hooters story that we were talking about where they are canceling Bikini Night.
Ugh.
A texter from 217 says, at Hooters, moms eat free on Mother's Day. It's my wife's favorite place to go on Mother's Day.
That's awesome.
So they're getting a female clientele.
Well, they said the Bikini Nights, they're getting rid of a popular tradition in order to return to their family-friendly roots. And I'm not exactly sure.
I love
that.
It's so funny.
I'm not exactly sure, because here's what I know. I know 37 years ago, Hooters is not where, like, all the families were going.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Remember the Hooters that was at Union Station?
Yes, that's the one I'm thinking of. I was a little kid. And you didn't really see a lot of, like, little kids and families there. You just didn't. Probably some. You saw some, sure. I'm not saying nobody went. But it was never like, where do you want to go, Applebee's or Hooters? They're both the same.
I'll tell you what it was really good for. It was good for whenever there was an event at Enterprise Center or Savis, whatever it was called at the time. A lot of people would go to that Hooters and hang out like before games.
A lot of stuff was hanging out at that Hooters.
Well, that was the point of the place. And now nothing's going to hang out because they're going back to their family roots.
I mean, on the Bikini Nights, it was nothing but hanging out.
I don't like that.
You don't?
He's visibly upset right now.
That really upset him.
I've actually never seen Matt actually disappointed and upset.
Oh, my God.
It's too early.
How are we doing today?
We're all right.
All right.
About time for a break.
Is it all right? Oh, we probably should do that. We have another scandal that happened, another sandwich scandal. And I'm just learning about it.
And it's my fault. I was going to say the suspect is in the room.
Apparently, I've been a huge topic of conversation the last 2 days.
And I'll tell you why he's not getting in trouble.
That's right.
I have a theory.
Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji. We still are with you until 12 o'clock today. Aren't you lucky? 104.1 FM KMOX.
All right. Well, the primary suspect is in the room. It looks like. This scumbag's going to get off, like, completely free, scot-free.
Yeah.
I've got a theory as to why, but I want you to explain. You need to set the table here.
My understanding is, and this has apparently been a topic on multiple stations in this cluster for the last couple of days.
A cluster is all the stations.
Yeah, so, like, 97.1's been talking about it. I think they talked about it on Y98. This station,
the
Dave Glover
show has talked about it a lot.
You guys did a whole trial. You came in for for the Dave Glover trial. I had people yesterday coming up to me at Kegs and Eggs.
Yes, I did too.
Asking about the sandwiches. So,
and if this is not the sandwich scandal, this is totally different.
No, but this is the place for sandwich scandals.
we find ourselves in the middle of them.
And I guess I caused this one. So the other day, we had on Monday, we had the big switch. We moved over to 104.1 FM. So hello, if you're listening on FM, you should be, because it sounds a lot better. So 104.1 FM, we had a big celebration day, and they brought food in from from Rosalita's. Mm-hmm. So we had some good food.
It was so good, by the way.
Right.
Really good.
Yeah, really great stuff. We had a nice time with that. So on Tuesday, I had gone into, we have a couple of little kitchen areas, and I had gone into one. I was making coffee, and there was another coworker of ours. Somebody had mentioned something about sandwiches, and there's a fridge in that place that I'm talking about, and I opened it up, and there are like four trays of full of sandwiches. And I was like, oh, my Lord, look at this. What's going on here?
Can I just clarify? I said on air, because I was brought into this mess, because I guess the primary suspect for a long time was Andrew, and he was being harassed.
Yeah.
I said, the testimony I gave was that Tina told you. Now, Tina works at our station. She's been here forever. I think she's the longest tenured employee at KMOX. I'm not joking. Yep. She really is. She's been here forever. So my understanding was that Tina told Ranj, hey, they double ordered on food.
That's kind of what happened.
Sandwiches that need to be eaten. So then, like, either during the show or right before, Ranj tells me, hey, Tina said there's a bunch of sandwiches that they double ordered that we can eat because, I mean, it's going to go bad.
I don't know. First of all, I don't know if she gave me permission to do it.
So I was under the impression that
she
commanded you to do it.
She did not stop me. So I pulled the trays out and I just started like, oh.
You walked back.
Yeah,
I did. Let's go get some sandwiches. Yeah. And I followed you. And if folks who listen to the show know that Ranj has this walk down the hallways where it's elbows out.
Yeah.
And it's very deliberate, like a cartoon, like when Bugs Bunny does something good and he walks with his elbows out. He walks like that.
Yeah, I was excited.
And I followed him because I thought, oh my gosh, not only are we doing a service here because Tina said to eat the sandwiches, but obviously, you know, we got to do this now.
Yeah.
So we go back. Tammy, our security guard, she looks at us going back to get sandwiches. She's like, what are you guys doing? I'm like, there's all these sandwiches back here. I said, and I quote, they're going to go bad if we don't eat them. So I took two sandwiches, and she said, and I quote, oh, what did you get? And I told her.
Nobody stopped us. Nobody said a word about it. We weren't trying
to be sneaky. We were trying to eat the sandwiches.
Well, apparently all hell broke loose because that was supposed to be, those sandwiches were supposed to be saved for a particular, they were embargoed, but nobody told me there was an embargo on the sandwiches.
So the sandwiches were embargoed, but here's the thing. We grab our sandwiches, we're on the air. We come back into a soundproof studio. We have no idea the grenades that we have launched into KMOX and Odyssey.
The sales department was furious.
Hell broke loose.
Yep.
It was insanity.
So
livid. People were livid.
Because I got into the sandwiches. It looked like I got into the trash, you know, like
and
an animal does.
Specifically that you took a sandwich from each tray. I heard that was the biggest offense, is that it wasn't that we took one sandwich. It was that all four trays, or however many there were, three trays, had been opened and a sandwich had been taken because we each tried a different sandwich.
That's right.
And literally, ladies and gentlemen.
People were mad.
Apparently.
And I get it.
Apparently, it was insanity.
If there's community food and it's for a particular, or if there's food that is reserved for a particular occasion,
put a note on it. That was the rule in the Mark Scores household. If you didn't want food to be eaten,
especially in an office,
there's six people in our house. We put a note on it. And here's the thing: radio people are the most offensive group of people you will ever meet when it comes to taking stuff.
That's right.
They just take food.
Food.
You would think that they're starving, which they kind of are. I mean, it's radio.
Yeah, right.
So, anyway.
So, I will tell you what happened.
Yes.
So, that's the setup, right? And then yesterday is kegs and eggs. So, everybody at KMOX is out for it. And the person who was upset, I'm not going to name names, she was very upset. And I knew she was, but I went up to her.
Well, you know, because like literally we've had multiple people now.
Oh, like so many people have come up to me and like, what happened with the sandwiches?
What did you do? They're so mad.
The whole office was pissed.
The whole office was so mad. You have no idea.
I went up to her with a huge smile on my face and I said, I want you to know. And I pointed at myself with my thumb. I go, I took the sandwiches with a huge grin. And then I go, and they were delicious.
But, you know, he's a sleazebag. Everybody knows that.
And she just laughed about it. That was it. She laughed about it.
Here's the thing.
When there was this whole crap storm that happened for 2 days.
Yes. And people had approached me about it because they're like, because even Glover pulled me on air a day ago.
They did a whole hour on it.
Yeah. They brought me in and they were like, you need to tell everyone what happened. And I named names, buddy. I mean, yeah. at this point, everyone's going under the bus.
We forgot to mention they went through security footage.
Oh, my gosh.
They went through the camera footage.
So I had another guy tell me, the guy that works with the lady that was mad, yeah. The guy told me, he goes, it was, I just want to let you know, he goes, we did go through the security footage, and he goes, and we got to you, and that's why we all pointed at you, meaning me.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, because we saw you go back there, but then something happened with the station, we got distracted, we had to leave. And I said, yeah, I took a sandwich, but that video of me by myself, that was me getting coffee because I had never really done that. We have a coffee machine back there that I had never used.
Mm-hmm.
So I got coffee. I said, if you watch that footage, you'll see me going there with my coffee cup, realizing my coffee cup's too tall. I run back to get a paper cut. I run back into the forbidden room to get my coffee. I said, but that was not when the sandwiching thing happened, because you will see me and Ronch, Bugs Bunny walking, elbows out to the back room to get the sandwiches. So when everyone thought it was just me working alone,
yeah,
it's because they stopped watching the footage before I came back, obviously sandwichless.
Can I ask you, Amy?
Yeah.
Don't you appreciate me for fessing up?
Not only do I appreciate you for fessing up, but I kind of hate it. And here's why. Here's why I don't like you. And here's why. I got a ticket yesterday, right?
Uh-huh.
Because I was speeding 45 in a 35. They claim it was 50. We're looking into it. I think it was 45. But here's the thing. I've never gotten out of a ticket. Even when I was 25 years old and cuter because I was younger, right? Mm-hmm. Not a 40-year-old woman, whatever. But when I was cute and young, never got out of a ticket ever, ever, ever in my life. Every cop that has ever pulled me over for speeding, and there haven't been many, but I have paid that ticket every time. And usually, here's my first two tickets in my life, 35 and a 25 and 45 and a 35. And so it's not like I was driving 100 miles an hour. Meanwhile, I know people who do things like drive 100 miles an hour and somehow get out of the ticket. One of those people is Chris Ranji.
Mm-hmm.
He was speeding in a construction zone.
Okay, but there weren't workers around. And it was right as it started, as the lanes were closing in. There was nobody around.
And the cop had sympathy for him.
Yeah.
And here, we know that everyone's mad about the sandwiches, and they are ready to throw me in jail.
Yeah.
But as soon as they find out that it's Chris Ranji,
yeah,
suddenly everything's okay. Here's why.
Was he a bad boy here? Was he a bad boy there?
Yes. That's a bad boy.
Here's why. Chris Ranji is, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm saying this on
charming.
Her. He's so charming.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I hate it.
Tell everyone.
He is so charming.
Tell him, Amy.
He's a big doofus, and you know he's mean and rude and selfish, but somehow he is charming, and
tell
he
him.
Walks around charming people.
Let's go.
And here's what happened. That lady that was mad at everyone.
Yep.
When Chris Ranji,
I heard she was delivering F-bombs all over the place. She was so mad about it.
And then when
I told her I did it, she was...
Because Chris Ranji, with his big, dumb, charming face, for some reason wins people over.
That's right.
And here's the thing. You either have it or you don't.
I have it. I have it, baby.
And he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it, you guys. He's a horrible person.
I'm not horrible.
He drives me nuts.
Yarr.
Like a steering wheel.
Yeah.
Pirate's
like
crotch.
A pirate. Yarr. It's driving me nuts.
All right. But anyway, he does. He's charming. And so he did it.
I did it.
He stole the sandwiches. And it's completely diffused the whole sandwich scandal because it happens to be this charming person. You know what? There are bad people. I bet Mussolini was charming. Just because you're charming, it doesn't mean you're a good person.
A texter here says, I think you both have confessed to being food thieves and speedsters. Things happen in threes, so who knows what's going to happen next?
Murder.
We're not going to kill anybody.
That's what Bugs Bunny always says. Murder.
We are not going to kill anybody. But I tell you.
But if you guys know
someone. So if you've been listening to the Glover Show or 97.1, it's me. I did it.
They were talking about you on
97.1. Everybody's been trying to get to the bottom of it. It's me.
And now that everyone knows it's him, no big deal. It's old charming face over there.
I feel fine.
Like we said yesterday, I have a mean, combative face. That's my natural face. That's why people don't like me. It's why I never get free coffee. Yeah. I've never had a drink purchased for me, and mm-hmm. I've never gotten out of a ticket. Ronj over here has a face that says, I'm trying my best, and it's not going well.
Thank you. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ronji. Our Mott's Madness tournament is live. So if you want to vote in the Sweet 16, you better do it today at Chris Amy KMOX. Find us on Twitter. We still have two number one seeds remaining.
Yeah.
Two of them have been eliminated. Union Loafers has been eliminated.
And that has been corrected initially.
That's right.
There was a mess up on the Twitter.
That's a NASA pizza. Beat them.
Yep.
And Katie's Pizza and Pasta was defeated by Vito's. So remaining, Emo's, a number one seed, faces Racanelli's, and Dewey's against Antonino's on the Hill. So you need to go to at Chris Amy KMOX and vote in our Mott's Madness tournament. It's Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ronji on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Actually, there was baseball during the Civil War. The first organized baseball game purportedly was played in 1846.
Okay, Jim. Know-it-all. There was not Major League Baseball, though.
I mean, I'm sure there was baseball a lot of places.
Yeah.
Why did we talk about
Thank you, Jim,
Civil
for
War?
The voice message. Well, because you
brought it up, but why?
I don't know. Because you said it, I don't know, pre-Civil War. I don't know what the
I
hell
don't
you
know.
Said.
I know.
But at any point, there was baseball yesterday. Cardinals won their opener, and today is the stupid buffer day, which I hate.
I love it. This is a great day to buffer.
The weather is so much better today.
It's a beautiful buffer day. You got to love a beautiful buffer day.
It'd have been so great to play baseball today.
Well, we can buff.
At 80 degrees. Anyway.
We also have a voice message from someone who missed the point.
Hey, Amy. The Clydesdales were scheduled to come out yesterday at 2:30 p.m., which they pretty much did. Have a good day.
Yes, but the first pitch.
I don't think she did miss the point.
The first pitch was also supposed to be at 3:15, and all the festivities were supposed to start, and every other element, the red jackets, the pickup trucks, the player introductions, first pitch, all of that was delayed except for the Clydesdales, which also meant that the sellout crowd, many of whom are excited to see the Clydesdale on opening day, weren't even in the stadium. And so like six people saw the Clydesdales.
Okay. So
I was just wondering if you have 20 scheduled events and you push back 19, there has to be a reason why you don't push back the one. And I said, because the Clydesdales are probably finicky and on a specific schedule.
Right. That's exactly right. So you don't mess with the horse's timing.
You certainly
If the
do
horse
not.
Has a schedule, you keep the schedule for the horse. Everybody else can adjust. Because the horse is thinking, what's taking so long?
The horse.
They don't even know. They don't know that there's a rain delay. They don't know what's happening.
It's hard to describe all of that to a horse.
But there have been so many people who complained about that. In the last 24 hours, I've heard a lot of people complain that the Clydesdales came out with the weather.
Ronj, no one was in the stadium. There were seven people in the stadium.
Look,
and because everyone else, because they also delayed opening the gates. Everything started later. And so you have, now the gates were open then, obviously, but like people were waiting outside because here's the deal. You get an announcement that the game's going to be delayed. You get an announcement that the opening ceremonies are going to be delayed. And so everyone waited before they sat in the rain, waited to go into the stadium. No one was notified that the Clydesdales were going to be on
time. Well, the horses have to go. They don't have time. They can't be screwing around.
And I'm not going to... No, I get it. I'm just going to say, you lose something. If the Clydesdales went around the stadium an hour before the opening ceremonies every time, it would make no sense.
Well, that you wouldn't do it. But rain gets in the middle.
It does.
And again, the horses have a schedule. Maybe they had to be somewhere else. So the pregame ceremony started at 4.
Yeah. And the horses were out an hour and a half early.
Yeah. The game was supposed to be 3:15. It ended up starting at 4:45 yesterday. But they still got it in. All the weather people were correct. They said it's going to rain this afternoon, but it's not going to be a complete washout. So we had an hour and a half delay. Not a big deal. Text messages to 314-436-7900. This one says, ex-cop here. The only people I have given breaks to were the unattractive ones. The attractive ones have been getting enough breaks.
Okay, I read that.
It should make you feel better.
Okay, yeah. I was trying to do the double negative thing. Okay.
But that's just this
one. Can you read it again?
The only people I have given breaks to were the unattractive ones. The attractive ones have been getting enough breaks in life, is what they're saying.
I hope that's what happened, but I can tell you, this cop was young, and he did not look like he was infatuated with me in any shape or form.
No, probably not.
What?
I could have been dead to him. I think he was like, you were speeding here. And I didn't even have the energy to say, but I'm on my way to Kegs and Eggs.
I love that this police officer was already tired of you the moment he got to the car.
It's the look that he had. It's the look that he gave me, the same look that you give me after I sing Susan Boyle for like 3 hours.
Another texter says maybe they were worried the horses running around the track after all the rain would tear up the field more.
So I heard that. I did hear, the engineer is saying no, he's in here. He was hiding under the table, which was weird.
Yeah, Kyle's been in this room for an hour and none of us knew it.
If you think we're joking, we're literally not joking.
Yeah.
We heard a voice and we're like, oh my gosh, one of the microphones is on. Who's talking? It was Kyle underneath the table. It's a big table.
It's problematic too.
Anyway, he said that's not it. I don't know. I'm just saying that's what Kyle said.
What does he know about horses?
Well, not enough to get a job in the horse field.
Yeah,
look,
Kyle,
he's in here.
Kyle's in here working on stuff that needs to be fixed, like the technical stuff,
yeah.
And he's trying to tell us he knows about horses.
We already have a horse editor.
Yeah, we have Scott Jagow. If you need any horse information, and he was, I think, crowdsourcing. If you know where that first ever Kentucky Derby winner mm-hmm. is buried, because apparently that horse is buried somewhere in St. Louis. From like the late 1800s, and they think it's on the north side, but they don't know for sure. So if you know where that horse is buried, let us know.
Hey, Kyle, our engineer, has worked a lot of baseball games, so he knows baseball. That's what it is. He doesn't claim to be a horse expert.
Okay. Amy, so again, the buffer day, I have been telling people that I do not like it.
Yep.
And I think when the Gas House Gang starts at 12 o'clock, I'm going to bring it up and everybody's going to jump down my throat. Matt Pauly and Mike Claiborne are going to jump down my throat. By the way, John Rooney will be visiting the show as well at 12:30.
I have a quick breaking news that I think is going to be relevant for people near Highway 30 and Sunset Hills.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's very specific. I'm so excited. Those of you who are longtime listeners of the show know that I love Quick Trip. I love Quick Trip. It is an American treasure. It's a national treasure. I actually tweeted that one time, and then Quick Trip Corporate said, hey, can we use this tweet in a meeting? And I said, sure. At any rate, I love Quick Trip. So there was a vacant lot near Highway 30 and Sunset Hills, 9.5 vacant acres. They are building a 5,000 square foot Quick Trip. A new one.
5,000?
5,000 square foot.
That seems really big. Trip. How big is a Buc-ee's or a Wally's?
I mean, Wally's is huge.
Yeah.
Quick Trip generally is not as big as Wally's or Buc-ee's.
Right.
Generally, but they have, their bathrooms are a delight.
I don't.
They're so clean.
Yeah, Quick Trip?
Yes.
Yeah. Wally's is pretty good too.
Yeah, but the thing is, there are only two Wally's, one in Fenton and then one in Illinois.
Yeah, it's north of Bloomington Normal.
Yes. So it's hard to get to Wally's a lot, but Quick Trip is amazing.
Wally's is 36,000 square feet.
Wow. Okay.
That's like a lot of.
Buc-ee's is 70,000.
Buc-ee's is twice the size of a Wally's.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Where is a Buc-ee's? I've never been to
Buc-ee's.
Texas,
aren't they? Where? South? Yeah, they're in the south.
We're getting an awful lot of information from Kyle the engineer.
Kyle the engineer knows too much.
He hides under a table for an hour. Suddenly, he's a co-host.
I'm not sure anybody would complain.
Wow, I've never been to a Buc-ee's because I had no idea that Buc-ee's was 70,000 square feet. That's almost a mall.
It really is. But I love going to Wally's. I have not been to the one here.
Really?
Is it in Fenton?
Yeah, it's in Fenton.
Yeah, I've not been to that
one
yet.
141 and 44.
Yeah.
Love it.
But it's great.
But Quick Trip is an American treasure. I highly recommend the breakfast pizza there.
All right. Well, we did it, Amy. Should we do it again Monday?
Yes.
Okay. We'll come back. The Chris and Amy show will return on Monday at 9 o'clock. In the meantime, you can listen to anything you missed on the Odyssey app. Get it, download it to your phone, and catch the podcasts. No commercials in the podcast. So there you go.